everyone go ahead and stand. We are we're super excited. We got an extra hour sleep. Wasn't that great? Super awesome. And it's wonderful, wonderful to be in this house this morning, to be in this presence, to be with you, and to worship a God who is just so, so good. So you ready to join us? Yeah, that's where you say yes. Yes. All right, let's do this.
Desperate. everything to me, if you know me, and we have conversations like this, which obviously you got to become friends with somebody to get deep on them. But you, if you know me, you know that I think that everything that is physical is a metaphor, whether it's a guitar pick or like water coming out of a faucet or just anything that you can see ever in your life and your breathing and all this. And so the song is called Home, and we explained last time how when the guy was writing it, he just meant, you know, he's built a home in his heart for God to live in and dwell in and to become one with and grow bigger and all. So to put another angle on it, I guess, I was talking to somebody recently, and they've been building a house for like a long time, apparently. And when you see all that work and you hear about all the stuff they have to do and all the months they have to wait just to get like one room done first and all that kind of stuff, just switch it. Switch the human in the home for God and his church and his earth. And he worked so hard and he did all this and he's made this house for us and he welcomes us in at any time that we ever want to. It doesn't matter what time or when, what day. And he's made this safe haven in this home that can extend out towards our earth. And we can try, you know, to make them as one as possible. But the whole point is that we are the home. He made this place and we're inhabiting it. But also we are the wood and the structures that are holding up the life of this intangible thing that we just know and understand and believe in and have faith in. And it's just a beautiful thing that we can come into this house that took months of planning and painting and all this stuff specifically so that we can come and show him that we love him. And the fact that we're even here today is saying we believe. So if you're in this house, then you believe whether you think so or not. And that means you're looking for something, and I really, really, really hope you find it and just open up your doors and God's going to come in.
That's right. Amen.
Have now been fixed. My heart has now been set on love. I've turned my gaze to this, the one in which my soul cries. Draw to me, Jesus. My love is Jesus. My love is you alone.
I love the lyric in that song when it says that his love is to grow and to be found. And it's to be found by those who don't know that love. The past 2 weeks, I've been ministering to a young girl who, she has no hope. And she has no hope because she feels so ashamed of choices that she's made, that she's making. And somewhere along the way, she's gotten this really bad message that as long as you keep making these choices or living in this, then you're going to stay in shame and that there is no eternal hope for you. That she's already condemned herself to a hell. And she's living in a hell right now simply because somebody's told her the wrong message. We sing these words to these songs, and I just overflow with gratitude and thankfulness for this message in this house, for this message of hope. Dad was sharing Wednesday night how the word hope has become so alive to him and so big because the scripture says in Hebrews 16 that hope anchors the soul firm and secure. You know, there are going to be times where you're going to help restore my hope. My hope's always there because I had this awareness of a new crisis within me, and we do life together, and we get to light each other's hope, to relight it, to cause passion to flow. But to come across people with no hope and to be able to give it to them for his love to be found in me and somebody else, that kind of hope. I'm thankful for this message. It's just so vital and important. The words we proclaim, not only in this house, but when we exit these doors, to be that. And I was sharing with Dad last night, you know, none of this ministering to her has drained me. What a gift that I get to give hope. This next song says, my life is yours. My hope is in you only. Our hope is in him only. Our hope is in him only. And to exit these doors and to be able to say your hope is in him. And to exit these doors and say, you see this love? I want you to find it. I want to give it to you. And I'm telling you, this message is about to spread like wildfire. It's about to burn everything that's not of him. It's about to burn every lie in a message of hope and love and grace and mercy and the truth of who he is, and the truth of who you are is going to flow out these doors, and it's going to spread, and people, hope's going to come alive in people, and they're going to be found because God's going to be found in you. Do you believe that? Aren't you thankful for this message? Aren't you thankful for who he is? Aren't you thankful that we don't walk in shame? We don't walk in guilt. We don't walk in condemnation, but we walk in the truth of who we are. We walk in the truth of who he is. And he says, you are loved. You are found, that you are worthy, because I've made you worthy. I've made you worthy. Woo! I'm glad you start the song off, Greg. You got it.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you only. You made this sinner whole.
Your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe. In the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. 'Cause your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
My life is yours. My hope is in you only. My heart you hold. You've made could spend all of my days telling you you were so good. I could spend every minute, every hour, every single moment proclaiming your goodness, thanking you for your goodness. I am so thankful, God, for this message. Thankful for this house. I'm thankful for your presence that goes before us, that stays with us, that never leaves us. We thank you for your hope. We thank you for your love. And Father, we just say we love you. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. There is no greater name. There is no greater power. There is no greater love. And we thank you that your greatness, all of that good stuff, dwells within us. And we worship you. And everybody says, amen.
Glad that what we sing is what we believe, and it's not just words on paper. I want to remind you, in your bulletins is a connection card. That's the way that you communicate with us, what's going on in your world, way that we let you know what's happening. There's a lot of important information in there, so make sure that you fill that out and put that in the offering bucket at the end of the service. And I know a lot of you give online and don't do offering at the end, but that connection card is important to us. And I just feel, you know, after 3 or 4 weeks off on vacation and then all the way from Griffin Spaulding County Hospital, I'd like for you to stand and just show your appreciation and thankfulness for Pastor Buren Goss as he comes this morning.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's get on it. Most of you know my daddy was a preacher. That's why Barbara used to sing the song, "No Man Could Ever Love Me But the Son of a Preacher Man." And my daddy used to say every Sunday morning, I mean, back then it was a chore to go to church. It wasn't a joy. People thought they had to go to church to go to heaven. And so daddy would say this every Sunday morning, "I'd rather be here than in jail. I'd rather be here than in a hospital." Well, I can really go along with that second one. I'd rather be here. God really talks to me, though, when I'm in the hospital. I don't believe he put me there, but that's totally against my theology. But just in case, I'm going to start listening more. I had a man years ago come to see me, and I knew what he was thinking. And he asked me, would he go to heaven if he committed suicide? And that's a strong question. And knowing my theology and what I believe is, yes, you would. You'd go to heaven. And so I sat there and just pondered what to say to this man, because I don't want to lead him down that trail. And I said, well, I believe God loves everybody. And yes, I believe you'd go to heaven. And then I looked at him and I said, but I could be wrong. So I felt like that was really a word of wisdom God gave me at that moment for that man. And it deterred him from going down that road. I want to talk to you this morning about kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. I love the kingdom of God, don't you? The kingdom's not the church. The church is not the kingdom. The church is a local expression of a group of people who have joined themselves together to proclaim the good news and to be a body and be a family, be an encouragement to one another. But the kingdom is bigger than that. The kingdom is out there. The kingdom is God's within you. It's wherever you go. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. It's not, the kingdom of God is righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad it's joy? Aren't you glad it's peace? Man, people love peace and they love joy. If you ain't got peace, you don't have joy. If you got joy, you got peace, right? So I'm going to talk about some kingdom principles. And listen, make me pray a moment. I really want the Lord to help me. I always want him to help me. But I especially want him to help me get this across to you today, because it's so important. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together, share together, love together, encourage one another. build our hope with one another. And I just want my mouth and thoughts to be your mouth and your thoughts today, and just pour forth your goodness and your truth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We started this series that you got to be born again to see the kingdom. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, man's got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can that happen? Can a man go back into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, you being as smart as you are, and you don't understand this, a man's got to be born of water first. That's how you were born. Your mother's water broke, and you were born. But he's got to be born not just of water, a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. You got to be born from the Spirit, because that's where you came from. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you. You came from heaven. You're going back to heaven. Okay. It's where you came from. It's where you're going back. So, you're born again to see it. And then you can decide if I'm going to enter it. I can see it by being born again. But I got to decide now, after I'm born again, am I going to experience it? I can see it by being born again. I enter it because I decide to enter it, and I inherit it because I continue to prevail into it. And I continue to prevail to be an overcomer. How many want to be an overcomer? You know, the greatest testimony is not a testimony of restoration. The greatest testimony is not a testimony that I did all of these horrible things and God restored my life. That's not the best testimony. It's a good one, but it's not the best. Best testimony, but these don't get any real accolades. Best testimony is I overcame it. It came my way, but I overcame it. That's the best testimony. They just don't get, they don't get the accolades they ought to get. You know, Army men don't get medals for being defeated. They get medals for doing some good stuff. They overcame some things. So you got to decide to enter it, and you got to prevail to inherit it. Principles are not commandments. I want you to hear, principles are not commandments. You know, I read the Ten Commandments this morning, and there's only two of them that tells you to do something. Eight of them tells you not to do something. A commandment keeps you from bad stuff. Principles bring you into good stuff. With me? Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? It, you know, the Bible says sin can be pleasurable for a season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. It may be tantalizing. It may be, oh, it's new, and you think this is really neat and everything. But I'm telling you, the end result of that's not good. The end result of that's not going to be some good stuff. It's bad. So the commandments is so you won't experience some bad things. Principles are so you can enter into some good things. Les Brown's a motivational speaker, and Les Brown says this: methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, principles never do. Methods change, principles don't. Do you know these principles in this book called the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, however you want to look, these principles have worked for thousands of years, and they will continue to work. Principles work for anybody and everybody. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus, and the principles will work if you work the principle. There was a man in this city, BJ, years ago, your daddy, the most prosperous time of his life, relatively speaking, I know, but probably the most prosperous time in his life, he worked for a used car dealership. And this man was not a follower of Christ. Matter of fact, he was just the opposite. But his brother was a Baptist pastor in Griffin. And his brother came to him, Keith, and said, if you'll tithe what you make on this car lot, God will bless this car lot and be the most prosperous used car lot in Griffin. He tithed, and it was the most prosperous used car life. The principles work. They work. You don't even have to be. They work. They work. They work for anybody. They work for everybody. They're not prejudiced. They're not prejudiced. They always work. It's like the law of gravity. If all of us get on top of this building and jump off, guess what? How many of us are going to hit the ground? Every one of us. I assure you. When I was a little boy, I loved to play Superman. And I'd get a towel. And she would get old diaper pins. I'm way back. Some of you don't even know what a diaper pin is. That was before. Well, that's the nastiest thing in the whole wide world, wasn't it? Barbara left one time, Dusty, with me when she was little, and we had cloth diapers. And that was the first time I ever changed a poopy. And oh, Lord and mercy, that is the nastiest thing. And I remember I undid one part of the diaper, and it was just horrible. I just turned the shower on and stuck her under. And just, Barbara came home, and she got all over. She said, I cannot believe you stuck that baby under that shower. I said, I can't believe she did what she did. But I played Superman, and she'd pin that towel on my back with them old diaper pins. And I'd get on we had a stoop on the back porch, and it was kind of high. And I jumped off that thing 1,000 times thinking I was going to fly. I never did it one time. Daddy came home. I remember Daddy coming home one time. He said, Buren, I don't care how many times you jump off this porch, you're not going to fly. I said, Daddy, you don't never know. I'm going to keep jumping. And I would sprain my ankle. He got tired of me getting hurt because I'd jump off. I'd hit the ground sometimes, sprain my ankle, be crying, Superman crying. He can't do nothing. I don't know why I told that story. Anyway, I saw a Far Side this way. I love Far Side. Y'all love Far Side? I love Far Side. And one of my favorite Far Sides is Preacher Up Preaching, and it's showing the congregation, and he's preaching out of the book of Revelation. The congregation got eyeballs this, they're about saucers, and their hair sticking straight up on their head. And the caption of it says, of course, there may be another interpretation. I love that. But I love this one. This minister is being interviewed to pastor a church. And the caption at the bottom is this pulpit committee. Y'all know what y'all will never know what a pulpit committee is, by the way. We don't have that here. We'll never have a pulpit committee. So there's this pulpit committee, though. I feel good. Yeah. Don't it feel good to feel good? Yeah. All right. So where am I going? So it's captioned under this Far Side. It said, we're looking for a pastor who will take us on a journey of transformation that doesn't require any changes in our life. I think that's where a lot of people really are, don't you? We want to be transformed, but we don't want to change anything. The Bible says if you're going to be transformed, you're going to change the way you think. You got to change the way you think. You got to change if you want to be transformed. You got to change in life. Growing is changing. If you want to have a good life, a happy life, change. Principles work. They work. In Matthew chapter 5, you know, and principles have got to be intentional. Most people, I'm afraid, live a haphazard life. Whatever comes their way, they react to it. Instead of living intentionally every day, they live an intentional life. How many believe God's smart? Now, you may say, that's a dumb question. No, it's not. Because most people believe he's good. And they believe he's loving, he's kind, and they're sure glad he's merciful. But they don't believe he's smart. And the reason I know they don't believe he's smart, because they don't do what he says. Hello. They don't think those if you thought God was smart, then you would read his book, his letter, his principles and do them because if you think he's smart. I had a great father. I had a great mother. Great parents. My daddy was smart. He was smart. Now, from 16 to 21, I thought he was the dumbest man on earth. I did. I thought, And most teenagers think you're dumb. They don't think you're that smart. And when I was little, I thought my daddy's the smartest man in the world. I turned 16, I thought, he's dumb. But from 16 to 21, he got smart. But when I turned 21 and hit the real world, got married, I thought, oh, how smart daddy really was. He was smarter than even I thought he was. He was so smart. You know what? I never gave him any money. I never had to loan my daddy any money. He did me. I never one time had ever said to my daddy, that was dumb. That was a dumb thing you just did. I never did, never said it. Guess how many times he said that to me? So he's smart. He was smart. I had many times he said, that was a dumb decision. I told you about it. We built a swimming pool and needed a car. We got the swimming pool built, and Daddy said, I want to see you. And Daddy never said a word while I was building that swimming pool. When it was all done, I called the family over. We're going to have a big time. We're going to swim and grill hamburgers, and we're going to have fun. And Daddy showed up and looked at me, and he said, I want to see you get in that swimming pool and drive it uptown and get groceries. He was smart. But he said to me a lot of times, that was a dumb thing to do. That was stupid. Anybody ever done a dumb thing? Yeah, I'm glad you... Anybody ever done a dumb thing? Principles will keep you from doing dumb stuff. Principles will make you smart. They're principles of life, and if you do them, they work. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, now, the very first thing he said, he went up into a mountain. One gospel says he went up into a mountain. Another gospel says he came down from a mountain. And what it was, there was a plain halfway up a mountain. And so he went up the mountain and far enough, but he came down. He came down the mountain on a plain for a reason. The Bible says the multitude was following him. But when he got ready to teach, he sat down to his disciples. He didn't teach the multitude. He grabbed his disciples because he knew they were going to listen. They were going to learn. A disciple is a learner. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Principle leads to a promise. Commandments keep you from bad stuff. Principles lead you to good stuff. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. That's a principle. Hunger is good. How many know hunger is good? Being thirsty is good. If you're hungry, it's a good thing. If you're thirsty, it's a good thing. Sad thing, there are a bunch of people walking around who aren't hungry and thirsty for the right stuff. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. It's good stuff. Blessed are you when people will ridicule you. And that don't seem blessed, though, does it? You know what blessed means? Happy, prosperous, to be envied is the person who works the principles. You're a happy person. You're a prosperous person. How many would like to be envied? I mean that in a good way. That people admire your life. Man, how many know that you ever looked at some people, and you don't have to answer this because all of us probably would have to, ever look at people and say, I think God loves them more than he loves me. Seems like God's favor is on them more than me. God's favor, now let me follow through with this. Don't jump the gun on me. God's favor doesn't rest on people. God's favor rests on his principles. And people who do the principles have the favor. He favors his word. He says he watches over his word to perform it. No word but proceed from him that will not return void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent forth to do. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You know who said that? Garth Brooks. Sure did. Heard that on radio this week on his station. Satellite said, Garth Brooks said that. Amazing. Luke 16. I'm going to read this scripture, then we're going to. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. Oh, man, if I just had more. Nah. If you're dishonest in little things, you'll be honest with greater responsibilities. If you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you the true riches of heaven? If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? I had a old set of CDs by Charles Simpson. Charles Simpson's one of my favorite preachers. But he's my favorite preacher. I know I'm y'all's favorite, but he's my favorite. And I got this CD said about kingdom principles. I listened to it. Charles has about 200 ministers that look to him as their spiritual father. Almost a little denomination of its own. It's called a covenant ministry. And he was teaching them. And this is what he said. And I wish I could take credit for what I'm about to tell you, but I'm giving it to where it needs to be. Charles Simpson said, I'm going to give you five principles. And this is what he said to them. What I'm about to tell you is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's not going to cost you anything. And he said that because it's not his principles. It's God's principles. How many know that people go to seminars and pay hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars to learn some principles about life that will make them successful? Do you know that? They'll pay a lot of money to find out some principles that will, especially if it's going to make them wealthy. Because they think money's the answer to all things. But he said, I'm going to give you five principles. Number one. You ready? A kept heart brings life. Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:20-23 says this. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, I'm not going to preach beyond my knowledge, so I'm just going to say what Charles said. He said that your heart, your little heart, has memories. It's been proven fact that a person with a heart transplant can be a total different person. Because there are things in that heart that was different than was in their heart. I wish I could explain it to you, but after 40-something years, I'll have a hard time explaining to you the difference in the heart and the soul and the spirit. That's a hard thing to really cipher. God, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's hard to break that down. But I know that your heart, you feel things in here. You hurt in here. The reason we say he has or she has a broken heart, they literally feel it in here. You feel that. You feel that. And I think it's where your feelings are. I think your brain has the memes in it, and it has the lines, and some of those lines are real light. And some of them are real deep. That's according on how emotional it was. But those deep things, if you think about something that happened to you when you was 12 years old, you'll feel it. You'll feel that same emotion that you felt when you were 12 years old. If you think about a time when you were really hurt, you'll feel that. That emotion will come up and you'll feel that. You see, you got to keep your heart clean. You got to keep unforgiveness and bitterness, judgmentalism. You got to keep that out of your heart. He says, keep your heart like you keep a garden. Jesus told the parable, and he said, a man went out and he sowed the seed and he just scattered it. He says, some fell by the wayside and immediately it was taken. The wayside was where everybody walked. Some people got too many people walking in their lives. I ain't got time to preach this, but whoa. Sometimes you get truth and you read it or you hear it and you know it's truth, and you get out there in the world and other people start walking all over your path. And they start telling you they're just the opposite. If you're not careful, you believe that and not the truth. And that's a wayside. He said some of it fell on stony ground. And I believe the soil is the heart. I really do. I believe there's a sower, which was Jesus. The word, which was the word of the kingdom, is a seed. But I believe our hearts is the soil. And if your heart ain't right, you can't hear. Your heart ain't right, you can't hear. You can't hear spiritual truth if your heart ain't right. I assure you, you can't hear it. You'll hear it, but you won't get it. You won't get it if that heart's not right. He said, keep your heart. Out of it is all the issues of life. The course of your life is going to be according to what's in your heart. And he said, some fell on stony ground. Stony ground is, not, they dug so deep and they keep plowing the same way every time they plant. It's called a hard pan, isn't it, Keith? Called a hard pan. And you gotta dig deeper sometimes. And the seed is put in there, but they just hadn't grown. It hadn't changed then. They're just plowing the same depth over and over and over again. Over and over and a hard pan. It grows, but when it doesn't have enough root, it won't produce. He said some of it fell on thorny ground. And thorny ground is when the lust of other things and the pleasures of life, they come and they choke it out. Other stuff gets in the heart and chokes the seed, chokes the, and won't bear fruit. But some of it fell on good soil. Say good. Out of the goodness of the heart. Anybody ever heard that? You know that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. Samuel went to anoint a king. And he went to Jesse's house. And Jesse brought out his sons. And I ain't studied this in a long time, so don't follow me up on this one. But I may be wrong. But I may be right. You may be crazy. But what was I about to say? Jesse's sons, thank you. And he brings Jesse's sons. I remember studying a long time, and each one of those sons' names sounded really neat. Had a good meaning to it. But Samuel said, none of these. He said, you got another, any more sons? He said, oh, I got one. This young, old, ruddy boy out in the shepherd fields, he watching sheep. He can't be king. Because first, you know, God didn't really want them to have a king. Did you know that? It wasn't his will for them to have a king. He was their king. But Israel said, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. I could preach that right now, but I'm not. I want to be like everybody else. We want a king. Well, if you get to pick you a king. All right. We're going to pick us a king. Let me see. Oh, here. Now, let me go. Here's a king. Oh, stand up a minute, Howard. Here's a king. Look at that king. Broad shoulders. Head and shoulders above everybody else. Oh, what a king. Let's make him king. They did. They got head and shoulders, too. Dandruff all over them. They looked on the outward appearance for the first king. Samuel learned something and said, we're going to look on the, not on the outward, we're going to look on the heart. So we're going to pick this little boy who nobody would pick because God saw something in his heart. And God said, David was a man after God's own heart. We used to sing a song in students, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I want my heart to be like God's heart. That's the heart we need to. And that's why we're here to try to get God's heart, folks. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why I've been doing this for 40-something years, trying to get you and me to get God's heart in us. Be like God. I want to anoint David. If you'd have been Jesus, you wouldn't have picked them disciples. You wouldn't have picked them. Why did Jesus pick those men? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about it? Why did he pick the ones he picked? I believe he saw something in their heart. I really do. I believe they had some of them need anger management. He had a couple of them called the Sons of Thunder. James and John. One time James and John said, call down fire from heaven and burn them all up. Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. But John became one of the most loving people ever. The beloved disciple went from a son of thunder because God saw something in the heart. Aren't you glad God looks on your heart? Glad don't look on this outward appearance, he looks on the heart. I got to move on. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. This is a scripture, by the way. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the face of the earth to show himself strong to those whose heart is perfectly toward him. Wow. What a scripture, isn't it? He didn't say whose heart's perfect. Whose heart is perfectly toward him. In other words, when I talked about the kingdom, two things about the kingdom, to even start out, you got to, number one, know it's worth more than anything in the world. You got to know the value of the kingdom. And the second thing is you got to put it first. And that's what your heart perfectly toward him means, that he's first. His opinion overrides mine, overrides yours, overrides everything. I could stay there a long time. Number two, faithfulness brings increase. Being faithful. Faithful in little, faithful in money, faithful in somebody else's. You know, we're called to be, do you know that I'm a steward of truth? When I saw that years ago, Paul said, we're stewards of this gospel. I went, wow, God, that's serious business. It's one thing that I'm a steward of my money. That's one thing. But boy, when I saw I'm a steward of the truth, whew, that took it to another level. My 10% only says it's just letting God know that everything's his. Anyway. Can't be faithful in little. You won't be faithful in much. Can't be faithful in what's another's. You can't get your own. You need to be faithful to your employer. You don't need to talk about them. You don't need to ridicule them. You need to serve them. Yeah. Now, there's some ugly terms people use for people who work for an employer, and they do, you know, there's ugly term. I don't even want to say them terms, but you know, if I know where I'm coming from. My daddy was a hard worker, and he taught me work. I'd say something about my employer, he'd jump on me both feet. Boy, you better thank him for letting you work. You better be thanking him. I remember when I started tithing about 45 years ago. And I said to my daddy, I said, Daddy, do I tithe off my gross or my net? Do I tithe off my gross or my net? And Daddy said, what's your heart say? What's in your heart? I don't want God to know what's in my heart. But you know God knows what's in your heart. You don't have to tell him. He really does. And so I started tithing off the gross, and we tithe off the gross ever since. Now people come to me and say, do I tithe off the gross or off the net? I'll tell you what Daddy said, what's in your heart. Okay. Faithfulness. Number three, sowing determines reaping. Whatever we sow, you call it whatever you want. It's a universal law. Other people call it karma. You can call it what comes around goes around. What goes around comes around. What goes up comes down. You go up the ladder, you're going to step down. I don't care what you call it. You're going to sow what you reap. If you sow bitterness, you're going to get bitterness. You sow judgment, you're going to get judgment. You sow love, you're going to get love. You sow mercy, you're going to get mercy. It's just a fact. It's a universal principle that it works for everybody. It has no respect to person. No respect to prayer. It works for everybody. Everybody. Whatever you sow, you reap. How much you sow is how much you reap. Oh. How much you sow is how much you reap. Universal law. Universal principle. You don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't. But you sow love, you're going to get it. You sow mercy, you're going to get it. When I went through one of the most difficult times of my life, you know why mercy was so poured on me? Because I was a mercy giver. Yeah. I didn't have any doubt I was going to get mercy. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't shamed. I was shamed. But I knew I was going to get mercy because I gave mercy. Whatever you saw. Kitty, you be coming because if you don't come, I won't stop. Paul said this. This is strong, Penny. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I read that this week. Ron, I went, wow, that's strong, Paul. And what's God saying? You're not going to make fun of me. You're not going to mock. What you sow, God's not mocked. Be not deceived. What you sow, you reap. No matter who you are. No matter who you are, you reap what you sow. And you reap where you sow. Woo-hoo. Man, Barbara, she just ain't, golly, she just ain't doing what she, oh no. I used to do that. I do it every now and then. Now, I'll be honest. I hate it when I start confessing sins and preaching. But I still, every now and then. But I got to sow good stuff if I want good stuff. The other day, she was gone. And I did this great thing, Penny. I cleaned up the kitchen. I cleaned out the utility room. I cleaned this junk pile. It was everything in order. You know what Barbara did when she came home, Billy? She came home. I'm thinking she's going to come in and go, thank you, Bure. You the best husband in the whole wide world. You know what she did? She came in. She went. She said, did you throw away my... I don't know. I may have. Well, yeah. I didn't want that thrown away. I said, just be thankful. I cleaned it up. Well, that wasn't enough. And then she did it again. Asked me about something else. I said, I guess, yes, I threw it away. I'm just as mean as I can be. I just wanted to throw it away. We worked through that. She came. She said, thank you. She realized we both get out of whack every now and then. You know that? Yeah, she gets out of whack every now and then. I get out of whack. But she came back later and she said, by the way, thank you for cleaning up. Thank you for doing all that. I don't know where I was going at. Sowing determines reaping. Mercy, number four, obtains mercy. We didn't talk about that enough. He said this, and Charles Simpson said, I can't even explain this one. He was reading a book, though, Joey, on hospitality. And he said, there's a principle of hospitality. Now, before you get all bent out of shape and think you got to have somebody move in with you, hospitality is more than that. You may. That is hospitable. That's hospitality. But hospitality is beyond that. It's just being kind. I was in the hospital last weekend, y'all know. And Hospital kind of sounds like hospitality, doesn't it? You know what they're there to do? To care for you. And because of our teaching, every time that they drew blood every 4 hours. And every time they drew blood, I said, thank you. And them nurses got to look at me, who is this dude? Thank you. I thanked them every time because I knew what they were doing, taking care of me. I said, thank you. That was only one time I got a little rough with them. But it doesn't draw blood out of this vein up right here so many times. And they were going in after it again. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's been enough. We got some other veins. I know. I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I know you can take it somewhere else. So let's move it from here right now. And they did. But they're in the hospital. They were taking care. They're being kind. Now, if they'd come in there barking at me, I might have barked back. But they were kind. They were kind. Now listen to this story. I'm going to close. Three men. Say men. Abraham didn't know they were angels. There were three men. Bible says, be aware when you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Unaware. Abraham thought, these are three men. They came to his house and he fixed them the most wonderful meal. He was kind to them. And these three men, before they left, said to Abraham, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And his wife laughed. And a year later, they had a son. They named him Laughter, because he was hospitable. He was just kind. Sometimes just one act of kindness can bring about a promise in your life that's unbelievable. 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 There was a movie I watched a couple of years ago called The Lone Survivor. Four Navy SEALs. Three of them were killed. One finds an Afghanistan tribe, finds him. That Afghanistan tribe, which were Muslims, had a covenant that if they find a stranger comes their way, they take care of him for 3 days. This Afghan tribe took that soldier, that Navy SEAL, nurtured him, protected him at the risk of their own life, and kept the Taliban from getting them because they knew what a covenant of hospitality was. Just be kind. Man lying on the road, been beaten, robbed, dying. A priest goes on by him, a Levite, two religious people don't do anything. A Samaritan, an outcast, somebody that man hated with every fiber of his being, nurtured him, took care of him. Jesus said, who is really merciful? Who is really the neighbor in that situation? Called him, we say it today, a good Samaritan. We say Samaritan like it was something. Back then, saying a Samaritan was not good. They were outcasts. They were hated. And here's a man who hated him, despised him, and yet he's loved by him. And matter of fact, he put him up. And he said, took him to an inn, gave him money, and said, take care of him. When I come back through, if he needs some more, I give him some more. Wow. Those five things. Now I know why Charles Simpson said it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's free to you. Well, it ain't free. You tithe on it. It's free. But those principles work. They work. And we're here today. And we meet together. Listen. Do not forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner and custom is. Let's encouraging one another unto good works. That's why we're here. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to encourage you, encourage each other into good works. never know what a kind word's going to say to somebody, what it's going to mean to somebody, what a kind gesture is going to mean. You never, ever know what it's going to mean to them. But more than that, you never know what it's going to mean to you. That promise that you want to come to pass in your life could come out of a kind gesture. Think about it. Could come out of just a kind gesture. You ever heard it said? I've heard it said a lot about certain people. They be mean as a snake. They say, he's mean as a snake, but he's got the nicest heart. That never made sense. But it's kind of, bear with me. They said, but he'll give you the shirt off his back. You ever heard that? People like that? He'll give you the shirt off his back. And you know what? He'll get a shirt put back on his back. Those five things work, Brandon. They work. They work. Young people, you got a life to live. If you do those five things, I promise you, your life's going to be so blessed. So blessed. The favor of God rests on his principles. You do those principles, young folks, you're going to be blessed. It just takes a little. When I was a young pastor, I was told, you'll never see your daughter graduate high school. That's what I was told. I believed the rapture of the church was going to happen before my daughter graduated from high school. Now she's got kids in high school. Amazing. Because of that, I came out of Social Security. I knew I ain't going to need Social Security. Rapture's coming. That principle don't work. That principle didn't work. That principle didn't work. These principles work. They work. Grab them. Young folks, grab them, Brandon. Thank God you're raising your kids the way you should, and teaching them these principles, because these principles work. And God's favor is going to be on you all the days of your life. It's not a bunch of jargon. It's everything. 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 Just do them, but you got to do them. When I look at the vacuum cleaner, I've never seen it vacuum the floor yet without me working it. Never have. I know they got some now. They're supposed to. I can't afford one of them. You know, let's stand. I've spent 1 month, whole month, meditating on these five principles. I've buried them in my heart. And I want you, if you can't remember them, go online, get these five principles. They work. They'll bless you all the days of your life, but you got to work them. You got to work them. It's not going to just happen. You got to work it. You got to. God's smart. You know God's smart. God's smart. A man can create all these galaxies with just his word. He's smart. And I believe he's smart. Now, you know what? I'm going to act like he's smart, Will. I know some of you, I believe he's smart, but you don't act like it. We don't act like he's smart because we don't do what he says. Right? You know, physically, if I was looking for a doctor and I went and say, Joe, I need a good doctor, smart doctor. You know any? I got one, he ain't too smart. What, you think I'm going to that doctor? No, but if he said, I got a smart doctor, who is it? I want to go to a smart doctor. You'd go physically, you'd go to see a smart doctor. Right? You want a smart doctor, right? Huh? You want physically, everybody here, oh, give me a smart doctor. Well, you got a smart God, and your soul and your spirit is important. Good preaching, Buren. Good. Y'all come on, clap for this man. This is some good preaching this morning. I wish he was my pastor. Woo! He's preaching. That's good preaching, wasn't it, Brandon? I'm your favorite, Anna. That was good stuff, man. Good stuff. This is smart stuff. Come. Y'all better clap for me. I want to know you got these principles down. I want to know you're gonna do them. Huh?
Good job.
Thank you, Mom. It ain't gonna just drop down. Daddy told me more than one time, Keith, money don't grow on trees. I didn't know all of how smart he was till I got married, and I realized, my God, I thought groceries just showed up. Wow, I didn't know you got a light bill every month. I thought once you put the electricity in, you didn't have to pay for it every month, but you know what? You do. I got smart. I love you. They work, but work them. Okay? We're going to have communion. Now, we got to tell you this about every time, because you start running into one another. And I know how sheep are. We ain't the smartest animal in the world. Why we all need a shepherd? We're sheep. Go this way. You go here, come here. Right? Yeah. You go here, go there. You go here, go there. All right? Y'all come down. The eldership's coming. And thank you. I mean, this morning I'm glad that Jesus kept his heart right. If you think about that, kept his heart right. The night he was betrayed, kept his heart right. I'm not going to let it get in the heart. He took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant. The covenant will last forever and ever. The everlasting covenant he gave for us for forgiveness of our sins." Right before Will comes to dismiss, and this was brought to me this morning. I like it. It says the banquet. It's got a scripture on it. He gave us bread to give us strength, wine to make us have us joy, and oil to make our face shine. It's got a pretty little heart on it. It's got a pretty little flower on it. So no man needs this. And I'm going to give this to somebody today that's been such a blessing to me and to this house for years and years. And Kitty, I want you to have this for all that you have done. You've been my David playing and keeping me calm. But thank you for all you've done. Bless you. Love you.
You may be seated. You have your connection cards. You can get those ready. The ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Some important things that are in the bulletin. For those of you that came prepared for the prospective member lunch, that will be immediately following this service. It's up in the youth building. So if you're here going to attend that, you can make your way up the concrete stairs and to the right. You'll see the doorway into the youth building. Also, in your bulletin was an insert, and it's Peace and Griffin prayer vigil that will be taking place next Sunday morning. These have kind of started. I've been attending them. There's been two or three of them that have happened, and I will let you know each and every time these happen from this point on. But this particular one, which is next Sunday at 3 o'clock at the park at 6, Pastor Buren will be sharing about 5 minutes on peace, and then there'll be a time of prayer. The entire time is supposed to be about a 45-minute time of prayer, just a little bit of talk and prayer. There was also going to be a community choir, and if you are interested, first of all, you need to be able to sing, but if you are interested, all you have to do is show up 30 minutes prior, 2:30, and they'll do a quick rehearsal for that, so you can be a part of that if you want to. So that is next Sunday. And then next Wednesday is our Thanks and Giving meal. Hopefully you have signed up for that. But we will be turning this room into our Thanks and Giving meal banquet hall. And the ladies or anyone that would like to cook a dessert, you don't have to be a lady to cook a dessert. They're bringing those. All of the other aspects of the meal will be provided. The donations that are received that day, that is what we use to help people at the time of Christmas, whether it's with the utilities, whether it's helping with Christmas. This year, we have made the decision as far as our prison ministry, the Angel Tree that we do with the Prison Fellowship, which is providing a gift, not an entire Christmas, to children of incarcerated parents. We're helping Spalding County only this year. Last year we did 125 or 150 children. This year we're just doing Spalding County. So those funds, additional funds that we have, will be able to go to help other families in a time of need. So we hope that you will come and join us. Let's pray and bless this offering. And thank you for your faithfulness. After I'm done praying, I ask you to stand and we will dismiss with a song. Father, Lord, I love you. So grateful and thankful, Lord, for this house, for what you have instilled inside of us. Thank you for Pastor Buren, Lord, that brings the word each and every week. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, for this offering, the tithes, the offerings, the alms that go to the furtherment of your kingdom. Bless each and every giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand and let's sing.
Come.